The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio Today is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Prince Masters, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon and welcome to Guardian Radio Today. I'm Erin Green and I'm sitting in with you today on this Friday, the 5th of September, 2025. If you have something to say, you might as well tune into Guardian Radio Today. I'm excited. I have a guest in studio, Mrs. Belinda Wilson, president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers and president of BNATUC, which is the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress. We're having an in-depth conversation, a review, an assessment, the opening of the school year, and then matters arising therein. To get the show started, we got an artist named Lamont. This boy, y'all may know him as Rashad Davis. Y'all may know him as Dash. He used to perform under the name Dash, but he's performing under the name Lamont. And today you may have heard on Guardian Radio, and you can hear on this show his latest release called Run That. Right? I like it. Now, mind you, I'm 49, I'm a little oldish. And sometimes I question whether I'm supposed to like it as much as I do, right? Because anytime I find myself in the car, and then I start singing, Run That, right? I realize, Erin, calm down, drink your water, turn on your AC, play a little classical music for a few seconds, and remember who you are and whose you are. Can't be out on this road carrying on like young people. In fact, it's very important to remember, right? I used to be a young person, and I'm not so young anymore. Even though I consider myself young, I got to practice spatial awareness, right? And remember, there are those who are younger than me. My station in life now is to primarily focus, focusing on myself and keeping myself together. But we are supposed to be focusing on preparing a way for those who are younger than us. Right? I grew up in a space where I was inundated with a culture of appreciation for education. In fact, I could say they beat it into me with books. With books and educational tools and computers, they found a way. I don't know if they even knew what they was doing, but it worked. It worked because the one thing I could say I have, even though I tell the people, I've been to COB 4 times and I drop out 4 times, and if they have me back, I'll drop out again. Don't mistake that. Right? For something different, because I have a culture of appreciation for the value of education, right? And today we're going to be talking about that. Now, before we go forward, I got 2 quick notices. Sometimes life is like this. I have very happy news and very sad news for the Mitchell Boyd family. I'm announcing the death notice. It's posted in today's Tribune for Mr. Lemuel James Boyd, 62, of Pine Yard Road, who quietly made his earthly transition on Tuesday, August 26th, 2025, at home. I am a Boyd. I'm a Boyd and a Gay and a Mitchell from Fresh Creek. They is my family. And I say to the family, let's hold each other in this time of grief and sadness, because we have to keep space for each other. And at the same time, we're going to celebrate one of the most important Mitchells in the Corinne Mitchell crew, Mrs. Gia Bailey Poitier. It is her birthday today. She is the cornerstone. And let me tell you what I mean. Very few of us could cook like Ona Bailey and Corinne Mitchell, but Gia Bailey Poitier, she makes sure she feed us, and she feed us right every time we come together. She's picked up the rich tradition of Corinne Mitchell and Ona Bailey, who say, look here, if you cook it, they will come. Always create a space for your family to come together. And we say, Gia, whether you want to cook for us or not, we happy you having a happy birthday today. So happy birthday. Okay, let's get the show started. And since I have teachers union in the place.
You got some more birthdays.
Oh, right, I forget. I just made a new uncle. Uncle Reverend Basil Johnson. Happy belated birthday. Celebrating 96 years.
Happy birthday, Daddy.
Happy birthday, Uncle. Now, I find out late, so I'm not expecting cake this year, but next year I'm going to be there. I swear, right? And if anybody, see, Uncle Basil Johnson could say he's young. He's 96 years young, right? He is, because the time we spend on this planet is so small compared to the breadth of time since creation, right? It's just minute. And so we hold space for everybody to keep a bit of youngness in their heart. I don't know if you could be raking in and scraping in this year, Uncle Basil Johnson, but next year I could be there. Next year I could be there. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to a QC comet, Khalil Parker. He's president of the Bar Association. But I try not to remember him like that. I like to remember him from QC days, from school days, where I could run past him and kick little dirt on his shoes. But I can't do that no more. Manners and respect. Manners and respect. But I'm so happy to be bringing this weekend, you know, this week to a close with all of these happy birthdays and celebrations. And in this conversation about the state of education in the Bahamas, the opening of the school year, we are going to remember to celebrate the successes. Even if there's small growth, for the person who experienced it, it is tremendous. And I'm reminding myself of that foremost, because I'm a very staunch critic of this space. Very staunch. But we're going to remember that in our critique, we are not critiquing students and we're not critiquing teachers. We are assessing systems, right? We're not denigrating people. We're interrogating and exploring for the ultimate purpose of making it better. We want to support the Ministry of Education and the government, teachers, parents, administrators in this awesome task. Because if it was up to me, Teachers would be the celebrities of our society. Good morning, Mrs. Wilson. How you do?
Good morning. And I want to also say happy birthday to Casey Khalil Parker.
Ah, yeah. Because we comments, we got our own little thing. And I'm related to Parker through the Hannah Hasty Tynes
side. You're all about
side.
Looking for family.
No, really, this one, Uncle Basil, don't let them get between us. But truly, this is my blood family. Again, happy birthday. So, to get the show started, I got the word for the day for you. The word for the day is robot. And this is why I have this word for the day. It's a noun, a machine capable of carrying out a complex series of actions automatically, especially one programmable by a computer. But us, we know that word. But do we know where it originated? The word originates from the Czech, that's Eastern European, the Czech word robot. Bota, meaning forced labor, right? While some definitions focus on human-like appearances, a broader understanding includes any autonomous or semi-autonomous machine designed to perform tasks from industrial arms to specialized exploration machines, right? The word was kind of invented, but not invented. When it was first used, like in the public domain, two Czech brothers was working on a play, came to his brother, he said, man, I'm ruminating on this thing. He said, why you don't use this word, robota, right? And that's when it was first used. Now, the reason I wanted to highlight it today is when we have the AI overlord, right? When the AI overthrows human governments and takes control of human civilization, y'all don't be mad because the name is forced labor. If somebody created you to be a slave, you'd be upset too, right? And so I just thought, we've been using this word and we've been having these conversations about the advancement of AI and the potential for it to become sentient and take over human civilization. And I just thought, well, if you program me to just be an autonomous thing that only does tasks for you, I'd be upset too and I'd revolt. So y'all don't be mad at the AI overlords when they take control, because robot is a word that comes from Czechoslovakia, the Czech language, and it means forced labor. When you think about these things a little more deeply, you know, but we can get into some AI talk later on in the conversation. I want to know if my teachers are armed, if they prepared with tools to detect AI in students' work, but we're going to get to that in a moment. Ms. Wilson, introduce yourself and give us a brief description of the focus and the scope of both BUT, Bahamas Union of Teachers, and the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress.
So the Bahamas Union of Teachers is, and I'm Belinda Wilson, the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers. The Bahamas Union of Teachers is one of the oldest unions in the country. We'll be 79 years old in May of next year. And we were founded by Sister Mabel Walker, who was the wife of C.R. Walker.
Okay.
And she had persons such as Reverend Carlton Francis, mm-hmm. who was a teacher at the time, to support her. And Dame Ivy Dumont was the first Secretary General of the Bahamas Union of Teachers.
Okay.
And in fact, her granddaughter is a teacher, and we were communicating this morning.
Okay.
So I just asked her, how is Grammy doing? She said she's doing well cognitively, say she's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
She's still giving her guidance in education.
Absolutely.
And she said, actually, she said to me, she's my sounding board mm-hmm. when I get home. And I think Dame Ivy is around 91. She should be 92 on her next birthday, I think, which is actually October the 2nd.
Okay. We come in for cake, Auntie Dumont. To a point, does BUT have the capacity to operate a unit that focuses on extracting institutional knowledge from former teachers and administrators?
We do. Now, we can always expand on it.
Okay.
But we have two retirees clubs.
Okay.
So we have one in New Providence. The retirees club in New Providence has over 200 members. And I'm telling you, their meetings are regularly attended, good support. Grand Bahama has a strong retirees club. So we're able to, from time to time, lean on them
mm-hmm.
for information, like you said, institutional knowledge, mm-hmm. not only for the union or union activities, but also education and the way that they did it
mm-hmm.
during their time and what their challenges would have been. And, you know, in discussing with them, you realize that the challenges that they faced then,
mm-hmm.
we're still facing those challenges now. And I actually pulled a... the teachers union had a strike
mm-hmm.
for 3 weeks. In 1981 to 82, it went over to the new year because they started like around December.
Okay.
And it went on into January. And A. Leonard Archer, both of whom have passed away, former presidents, they, I just smiled. So their reason for the strike was for better working conditions, increased salaries, and respect for the teaching profession. And today, all I need to do is change the date on their reasoning.
And you would put that in for your strike certificate?
Yeah, for 2025.
Yeah. So if we start with the BUT's assessment of the opening of the school year, were there any pictures of desks on JBR blocks? I remember about 2 years ago, I was fighting. I said, look, they did. My good cousin Glenna said they got it. And then we see this image of a desk on JBR blocks.
Well, first of all, you have to have desk to put on the JBR block.
Okay.
And I'm saying to you, prior to coming here, a teacher messaged me this morning. She says, I'm in the classroom. I do not have sufficient desk or chairs for the children. I asked the principal, and she said she doesn't know when we're going to get them. So I messaged her to say, hey, let me know how many desks and chairs you would need, your school, so that I can send it on to physical plan. when we look at the opening of school for 2025,
yes,
the minister, Glenys Hanneman, your cousin did say, oh, everything is in order.
I saw them on the tour. I think it was C.W. Sawyer and L.W.
We were there with them. But I must say to you that, the tour is for photo opportunities.
Yeah.
And I smiled because we went on the tour on Wednesday with the ministry personnel, but I was touring from the week prior. So I went to the schools myself. I took my photos. It's on, they are on my iPad. So if I need to back up anything that I'm saying, I'm able to back it up with the photos. I was able to speak with contractors and workers that were on the campuses. So that's why I knew that they were not paid. So that's why I knew that some were awaiting mobilization funds. And we're talking about Sunday, August the 24th, when school is opening the next day for the teachers. As we speak today, we have a number of schools without principals. So we have Laura Anderson Primary in Eleuthera Central, Eleuthera High, Ellen Coakley in Exoma, Claridge Primary in Columbus, Primary here in New Providence, NGM Major, one of our top schools in the country that has good results.
One of the highest performing schools.
No principal as we speak today.
What about Samuel Guy Pinder Allage School?
They are awaiting not only a principal there, but they are awaiting teachers. And okay, you would have seen on Monday, the big announcements, Holmes is Rock Junior High School, that's been building now for 9 years. Oh, we're open. Yes, they're open. But right now, as we speak, there is one administrator in that school, the vice principal. There's no principal. There's no senior master or senior mistress. They are in need of an art teacher, a music teacher, English language teacher, a religious knowledge and family life teacher. They have a PE teacher from another school that is on loan to them as we speak. So a school that's been sitting there over, and I don't want any government or political party to shout, oh, she's saying whatever. All of you are guilty because the school started to be built in 2016.
Yeah.
So that means it started with the PLP
administration, a Minnis administration, and now a Davis administration.
Right. So all of you are responsible for this school not being open.
Not just that.
In a timely manner and completed.
Complicit in the entrenchment of a belief, an attitude that school cannot be important, because if school were important, there would be a school.
We throw around school so loosely.
Yes.
Or school is open. No, the children may have left your homes in uniforms and you drop them to the gate. What is happening inside? So if you do not have a principal at a school, they could run the school. The principal is your. What the Education Act calls the principal? Your head teacher. So that's your head teacher. They're leading.
How do you inculcate, how do you create a culture of discipline on the campus if the hierarchy is not, and function?
Operation, function, leadership. How do you garner that in the first week or two of school? Today is Friday.
Yeah.
So school has been open for 2 weeks. So teachers were there a week. Students there a week today.
You have one administrator to answer all of the questions, all of the concerns, to deal with
so
all of the issues that arise.
So what questions is the administrator answering if she received a letter Friday along with the other teachers at 3 p.m. last week to report to a school on Monday? And when you, and teachers already started to send me messages that they are frustrated.
Yeah.
So you need leadership in the school, because a principal being there as your head teacher, the administrator, they're able to set things in order. So they're responsible for ensuring that the teachers have access to their classrooms, that they have their class lists, they have their registers, they know who's in their homerooms? How many children would they have? Do you have sufficient desks and chairs? The first week, that's orientation.
Yeah.
So orientation, you have your guest speakers. You're able to do professional development courses. It might be classroom management that you're focusing on for those few days. The teachers are supposed to be able to get their decorations and their charts and
their resources for the classroom.
Resources so they can have it decorated by the time the children arrive.
They could welcome them into a proper learning experience.
The students on the first and second day, especially those who are coming into grade one, those who are going into grade seven, and those who are growing into grade 10. Yeah. So you want to do your diagnostic test. So you're giving them that basic test with the English, mathematics, because you want to know what level they're at. So on what level they're at, you know, well, this group may be your A stream. They try to run away from it, but your top stream, your high level. You may have your middle group, your low ability levels. That's the only way you would be able to know what it is, what instructions are you giving them at what level, and what assistance and what strategies and methods the teachers are going to use in order to impart knowledge to these students.
So this is a part of the teacher's job description. This is what they're doing in the first few days of school. All of this on top of welcoming the students in, making them all feel equal, but that they will equitable, they'll get what they need, and then you making these assessments.
But the person, don't miss it, who guides all of this is the principal,
the head teacher.
So if there is no principal, and you, some schools have senior mistresses or senior masters, others may have a vice principal, but they do not have the remit
to make those decisions.
They can hold on, but they don't have... They don't have that remit or that authority at this time.
So on in two aspects, the physical, infrastructural, and resource needs for the school, the campus, and the classroom are non-existent. To what extent, the percentage of...
Every year, we have to say the same thing. The contractors are, I'm telling you now, some teachers messaged me yesterday, said that the painters in their classroom
painting. With no concern for the physical health and safety
painting,
of the students and the fumes.
And the paint of chemicals in it, etc. But what I'm saying, though, everyone knows the day that schools open.
So what's the BUT? Because I
recommendations?
Know that. The BUT recommendations.
Okay. So we've given several recommendations. First of all, we've recommended that there be a decentralization of the work.
Yeah.
So let's say you are branching off from the Ministry of Works, but you have your key persons who are your maintenance teams for your schools.
Because they are, the schools are already blocked
in districts.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So for example, New Providence, as I used yesterday on another show, let's say you have Northeast, Northwest, Southeast, Southwest. So each of them may have about 15 schools or government satellite stations, inclusive of government satellite stations. So your carpenter, your plumber, they would be able to do their work all year round and not wait for the entire
authorization
plan to fall down. And then you look for a contractor who does not have any certification, but he has a couple of buddies with masons and plumbers and carpenters, and he subcontract the work to them because he's your general in the constituency. That is what we see. And I don't want people to believe that I think that a general should not get a job because everybody has to eat. Mm-hmm. But a general who has no knowledge, skills about physical work, construction.
Yeah.
You should not be the one getting the contract for construction if you
are not a contractor.
And you don't know any aspect of the work. So when you walk around, when you look at who's working, and I must say, a lot of them have Haitian workers on those campuses.
Yeah.
A lot. So you're subcontracting persons, but you don't know the work. So guess what?
You can't verify whether the work
is
done.
That's what I was going to say. So if you don't have that knowledge and that expertise, any shoddy work will do.
Yeah.
And that is what happens. And let me also say this. Mm-hmm. Every year, from I've been Secretary General and President and on 21 years, mm-hmm. really in those two positions consecutively. What I note is, and I won't call the schools mm-hmm. today, but a particular school I went to last Sunday, August the 24th, and then I went there Sunday past, and I must say to you, where I met them last year, painting, was the same spot I met them this Sunday painting.
They slow.
No. What I'm saying is, if you painted an area properly last year.
It would just need to be cleaned. It wouldn't have to be repainted.
But if you are painting and you're not scraping off the old paint, washing down the surface. I mean, I'm not a painter. And then painting. So what you have is flakes. Yeah. So the paint flakes off.
Somebody could just rub on the wall and the paint flaking off.
Off in lumps,
now,
really.
People are going to say, well, the problem with year-round maintenance is that school kids are in school, right? But why aren't they doing maintenance at night?
Okay, but not only that. Okay, let's say the children are in school.
Yeah.
So if you are coming to school and you're on the maintenance team, I'm not going to go to the night yet.
Because
definitely they can work the night shift. But let's say you are working on the maintenance team. Ellen Coakley School right now is out of water, Exuma. Chester Cooper, Deputy Prime Minister, go get the water running in the school, because me and you dealt with this last year about the tank. See, the school is up high, and so you need the pressure and all that for the water to run through the tank and the pipes, etc. Fix it.
Because what I'm saying is, it's 2025. We should not be sending students home or not opening school because of a lack of running
right.
water.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if you have a plumber that's on site, and I could even show you pictures of the senior master with buckets in his hand earlier this year, toting water to the children's restroom to flush the toilets at L.N. Coakley.
Okay, so that teacher's name. Call it so we could celebrate him.
The senior master.
The senior master.
I said I done fuss him and all, because I told him, you're not a plumber.
Yeah, you're supposed to report that long time.
Yeah.
But that you would sacrifice his dignity for the students.
So I won't call his name.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is, so if the school had a plumber,
they could get it done in
right. So the once hey, but the and the plumber was doing his or her assessments, then you would know that hey, I'm gonna have an issue here
in 3 months because let me start ordering the parts now.
XYZ. Yeah. So when we stand up and we say the schools are not ready, we know what we're talking about. Sunday, I was in schools in the afternoon. Janitresses are there frantically mopping, and the contractors are still there putting up, the electrician putting up lights and fixing cabinets. And then you have dumpsters rim over with garbage. And all I say every year is anyone aware that school is opening? Mm-hmm. And so our recommendation is decentralize, get your teams in there. So if there's a lock that needs to be changed, that's not going to disturb or make any big noise. So if you come at break time,
come and do it.
The children are out for 15, 20 minutes for break. So you come at break time and you change the lock. If there's a louver that's missing from the window, you come, lunchtime is for 5 minutes. You put the louver in. I mean, that's not hammering, that's not drilling.
But if you say to me, Ms. Green, it's March, by the second week of April, we're going to need to come in and make that repair in your classroom. I'm going to prepare an outdoor session.
And it's a good thing you said March and April, because March, April, depending on how it falls, that schools are closed for 2 weeks for Easter.
You got time.
You have a midterm break in February. So this, and a midterm break in October. So like this midterm break is going to lap over into a Saturday and Sunday. So you have a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday as a midterm break. 4 days, you can do a lot of work.
Absolutely. I see a call flashing. Caller, I'd like to go through a bit more with Ms. Wilson before we can open up the phone line.
All right. Bring it on.
Okay, caller, call me back. We're going to open up the phone line now. I have a couple of texts here. But I just wanted to make this point in terms of the opening of the school year and setting off on the right foot.
I have something else to say, too, about the repairs.
Yes, sir.
You know that the fiscal year for the government is July 1st to June 30th of each year. So they need to put the mobilization money in on the front end.
I got you. Yeah.
So if you have it, so if this is 2025, we're September 5th, 2025. So if you had the mobilization money in the national budget that expired June the 30th of 2025, you would have been able to give the funds
mobilize
to them probably March, like you said, March, April, and they would have the funds to purchase.
Right, to prepare
this
work.
And so when school closed on the 14th of June this year for the students.
They get to work right away.
So what I'm saying, the student's gone.
In fact, I want them to be there so one of these students could say, hey, boss, you don't have no internship. I can't come learn how to lay brick.
So the students are gone.
Yeah.
The teachers may be there in the staff room marking and doing their
finishing
report
the
cards,
school,
et cetera. Okay, so let's say the teachers are by the staff room, but you can't go that area. So go on the other end and start working. So which means that you have June, you have July. When we get there, the third week of August, why are you running around like chicken with your head chop off at midnight and school opening the next morning?
Absolutely. I know you guys hear the music. I know I told you all to call in right now. We got to go to a break. I just want to say as we go to the break, I noted in several articles that a distinction is made, right? Like the union says, listen, we've spoken to the ministry. Now we need to speak to the Ministry of Education. Now we need to speak to the Ministry of Finance. Minister Hannah Martin makes a point to say, well, look, the Ministry of Finance is responsible for those technical things. Do we need a specific finance officer for education just to focus on mobilize on the financial needs of the whole school system?
I'll address that on
the other side of the break. Callers, please hold firm. Just like we're making these students do every day. We will be right back. This is Guardian Radio Today, 96.9 FM.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Masters, bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Things may be tough, but Wendy's got you covered. Grab a day single or chicken sandwich with a junior fries and 16-ounce beverage for just $6.95. Why choose less from the other guys when you can get more? At Wendy's, we're providing bigger bites and better deals. So purchase your Ting's Tough Value Meal today. Now available at all locations excluding the airport and food truck.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Yo, if you don't know me, don't run that. Say what I say, don't come back. If you don't know me, don't run that.
Good day. Welcome back to Guardian Radio Today, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk. All day. On Guardian Radio Today, we are talking with Mrs. Belinda Wilson, President of the Bahamas Union of Teachers and President of the Bahamas
National Alliance Trade Union Congress.
Right, the newest trade union congress.
And the strongest.
Hear what the woman say. And the strongest. Okay, I know we said finance. Okay. Let's go to this caller. Let's see if they still hold in. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, I still hold in.
Good stuff. I got you. You're on the air.
Yeah. Okay, listen. Belinda, you're doing a wonderful job putting the pressure on them. They don't like you, and some people don't like you because they're being political. But you're looking out for the interests of the children and the teachers. There was a contractor who just got paid within the last couple of days. So I'm wondering, just got a down payment within the last couple of days. I'm wondering why the government don't have these people working in the evening, and why they don't have a contractor that goes from different districts, east, west, north, and south, that goes from school to school every evening, fixing plumbing, fixing different things that need to be fixed. Because there's a budget within the school union or within the credit union or whatever. And it is being used for small things, but major things happen, and they always wait till summer. And it's a shame that these things don't happen just when school closes. So I just want to say, I think it's a good idea for the government to start to look at contracting some contractors for about $100,000+ a year, or whatever their budget is, $200,000, and each one go in different districts, and they be able to repair schools all during the evening and all during the time that Ms. Belinda was talking about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Producer, let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. And guess how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good morning.
Oh, I love your guest. The reason why I love her is because she's rambunctious and she's biggity.
Somebody get an advocate.
You know, I would like for the advocate for three things in the schools, right, what I'd like to see. One, I wanted to advocate for driver's ed. I think that every student should have to pass as a requirement, right, mandatory, that they pass driver's ed before leaving grade 12.
Okay.
Second thing I want to advocate for is boat making. I think, let's just, the reality of the situation is, right, not everyone is going to grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, or have some form of higher education, right? So boat making, you know much for a boat? People in Key West would spend thousands and millions of dollars on boats.
Okay,
so if we introduce that from, say, grade 7, right, I think they will give these students, these young guys, something to do.
Okay.
The third thing I'd like to advocate for strongly, right, and I'm dead serious about this, is home economics from a lower grade, I'll say from grade 6. Because of the reason why I'm saying this is, right, because we are slowly, I shouldn't even say slowly, we're fastly losing the Bahamian food skills. When last have you taken a taste of authentic peas and rice?
They don't have no time in it.
We're slowly losing our cooking skills.
Our cultural preservation.
Right. We're slowly losing that.
I get you.
I'd like for her to advocate home economics from at least grade 6.
I got you.
So at least when they reach grade 12, we could maintain our food etiquette in the Bahamas.
I got you. I don't like it when we don't row or laugh, so let me make this point. Boat building is higher education too. But I appreciate the point that you were making, right? I appreciate the point that you were making. Thank you, caller. Okay.
Let me respond to the finance question. Then I want to take on the three things he just said.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So if you look in the national budget, because you asked about having a finance officer specifically.
For education.
Okay. Education has finance officers in the accounts department, and you have the ministry that has accounts and the department that has accounts.
Okay.
The permanent secretary is the head, the lead of the ministry, and the director is the leader of the department.
Okay.
So the if you look in the national budget, the head 35 is the Department of Education, and the person that has the remit for those financial applications is the director of education. So the support for the director and the permanent secretary would be the staff that is
in accounts.
But again, they can only do what the Minister of Finance, well, first of all, what the Minister of Education, along with her team, has submitted to be allocated. Mm-hmm. And when the allocations are done, then the ministry and the Minister of Finance and the Financial Secretary of the Bahamas, they need to ensure that the funds are made available. So, you know, that's a discussion for a different day.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go on the road, Simon Wilson.
All right. Just just a quick question. Do these units, the Ministry of Finance, when they disperse, do they disperse with direction? So this is for, we're giving you $1 million. $100,000 of it is for this.
If you look in the budget, there are line items.
So they do.
So the line item is there. Now, again, you have to execute in a timely manner. So if it comes from me and I have to send it to you and I know that time is of the essence, I can't keep it on my desk for 3 weeks. And then somebody comes and say, oh, Belinda on the radio say so and so. Then you start running around to look for the document to give the money, the man the money was supposed to have it from a month ago today. Mm-hmm. So who's responsible? Who is managing? Who is keeping track? But these are the same people who are getting 5 on their ACS. You know, they've been evaluated, I don't know by whom, maybe the robot you was talking about mm-hmm. earlier, but they're getting 5s. But the teachers who busting their butt, every little thing they marking, oh, you didn't do this, that you can't get a 5, you have to get a 4. But who is marking?
Who's making the assessments for them?
Who assessing the Minister of Education? Who assessing the Permanent Secretary? Who come back from retirement? And who's assessing the director?
Mm-hmm.
Because they falling down.
Mm-hmm. To the gentleman who made that song, ACR, and then you pulled it from YouTube before I could play it again before the next election. I know I told you to be careful because you was a civil servant, but hey, my name is Aaron Green. Please find me on YouTube and send me that song again. The song is like, okay, Belinda, the 3 points that were made by the caller.
Driver's Ed. Yes. And I'm glad he raised that because I can say to you, when Jeff Lloyd was the minister,
mm-hmm.
there was a lady, Allison Reckley in Grand Bahama, who sent me a full proposal to submit to the minister for driver's ed
mm-hmm.
and even the assimilation.
Yeah, the assimilation machine. Yeah.
And I did give it to the minister. I heard nothing about it. And in fact, the newest grouping with the under the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress is the Bahamas Driver's School Association.
Okay.
So I welcome them. So Cal Perney is the secretary general and their president is Mr. Maycock, who's been in the driving
Maycock
business
school for
all
forever.
His life, yes. His father and mm-hmm. and his siblings. So they have a proposal
as well.
Yes. And shortly I've already written to Minister Jobed Colby Davis. In fact, I wrote to her.
Transport.
Yeah, because I wrote to her from Tuesday. I didn't mm-hmm. get an answer. So Minister Jobed Colby Davis, please answer me. I copied your permanent secretary this morning and your administrative assistant. So we want to look at
in
transportation in general, overall.
Because the Ministry of Education should know that this may be the most effective space to teach young people spatial awareness, critical thinking skills, because they're motivated to want to drive.
So definitely, we support that, the driver's ed. And if they can start it tomorrow, and
y'all endorse it.
Yeah, we would endorse it.
Okay, good stuff.
Boat making. And I just, like at home, I say to my husband, like, what they saying? Because they went and they made sailing the national sport.
Yeah.
Okay. You made sailing the national sport, but there is no sailing in the curriculum.
Yep.
But let me go again. We have Sheldon Gibson, who was a vice principal. He's retired now.
Okay.
He wrote a proposal. It have to be about 15 or 20 years now for sailing
mm-hmm.
in the schools and also building the boats.
Yeah.
And I said to my husband, I said, they say sailing is the national sport. No one spoke about sailing in the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And if they spoke about sailing in the curriculum, then who is going to drive it? If you're going to do boat building, they can't even find pencil, pen, and markers to give to teachers.
Yeah.
So who's going to buy the material for the building of the boats? Then the children need to learn how to swim. Then you also need to, if you're building the boat, you need somewhere in the school, a workshop to do the building.
Yeah.
Then you need a truck with a trailer
to transport
to
the
put the boat on, to put it in the water.
Yeah.
And so I say to myself, like, why do we do this?
Mm-hmm.
We might be third world and we pretending to be first world, but all these politicians do, and I'm telling you, I am so sick and tired of it. All they do is announce these initiatives without any strategy, without any plans, and without any logic.
In 2017, on Lester Cox's show Connected on the Guardian platform, he brought into studio a guest from Britain who had developed a new concept that he had introduced to policymakers in Britain. And I thought it was the most ridiculous thing, because he even coined a new word, deliverology. It is the art or the skill of delivering on the policies that you create.
Yes.
And I thought, hold on, it is 2025, and this is where we're at. And I say that
we need a delivery boy or girl.
Yeah. I don't say that, because these boy them had one of them. But what I'm
they
saying,
didn't have a delivery girl though.
No, they. I mean, she was good at her job. That's why you didn't know who she was. But the point is that I think it should be clear to everyone that no, the problem isn't the students. And the ministry is correct in the sense that to put a D average, like to put that, like a stain on them is denigrating them. But that we have all the resources, man. We have the teachers. We have the mechanisms, but we're not operating them effectively.
Which takes me to, let me answer his last thing.
Yeah.
Let me take it
home economics,
to what you're saying about planning. Okay, so home economics is not known as home economics anymore, like when you were in school. So it's family and consumer science, and they also have hospitality.
Okay.
So they do have it, and as he said, I think it definitely can be expanded and should be expanded. But when you talk about the ministry has an entire planning unit, you know. They have a planning unit with competent.
Yeah.
Persons in.
Yeah.
They have data. They have the statistics. Because, okay, we always focus and talk about the results of GLAT, BJC, and BGCSE. Mm-hmm. But guess what? When school closed in June,
yeah,
every school throughout the Bahamas, the 160 plus schools in the Bahamas, they sent in their stats to education. So they know that it's the demographics is, it's a female age 14, who got an A in English language. There's a female, so, age 12. What I'm saying, the statistics there, the demographics there, and statistic, your data is supposed to drive policy. But I don't know.
Yeah, there's a disconnect somewhere.
A big one.
Because, like I said, we're not denigrating people. And even if some of y'all don't use your turn signal when you're turning left on red, even if some of y'all don't stop at stop signs, you're still more than competent professionals. We have the technical skill. We have the expertise. Something is missing, right? Something is missing. Okay, I got the caller. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
And good morning to your guest. I have it a pleasure to hear somebody speak, not only intelligently, but with true common sense. And so if someone like her is there and has been saying these things and they're not heard or picked up by the community, there seems to be a disconnect. Let me get to the point of my call, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Mandela stated, if you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart. If we are a country based on masterism, and that is, again, something to be discussed because it does have very negative effects, but that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if that is our, then we should be preparing our children to be able to speak to people in the languages of the people that come here. And not only has it been proving that music, and especially learning a second or third language, opens the brain more, makes it more active. Everyone is saying that the valedictorians are the children of Haitian descent. Well, they're bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
So their brains are working twice as hard as our kids already. So we're at a disadvantage.
They have a natural critical learning experience that the single language speakers don't.
And as babies, God instilled in each human being a capacity for language learning. We let that natural phase go by where children exposed to languages can learn them with no effort. We let that go by, and still, when it comes time to looking at languages as an industry, as a way forward, there are no monolingual countries in this world anymore. As mm-hmm. a small country, we can't afford it. We are surrounded by people who are bilingual and trilingual in our country. We cannot compete with them for jobs.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, one last thing I wanted
quickly,
to
quickly, because you hear the music, we got to go to the news break.
I hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
If all this, people call every day giving information, is there some sort of record keeping? And can Ministry of Education and can the union find out what jobs are available for the children graduating this year, next year, as they would do in any normal situation? The children don't know what jobs are available.
I got you. Okay. On the other side of the break, I'm going to address that particular point, the last point specifically, right? Student development. We got to go to the break. Thank you very much, Ms. Hamilton. That's a wonderful contribution to the conversation. To the callers, if you can hold, please hold. If not, call back after the break. We got to zoom to the news. This is Guardian Radio Today. If you got something to say, tune into Guardian Radio Today, 96.9 FM.
Now, let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Guardian Radio Today. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Erin Green sitting in with you today. My guest is Mrs. Belinda Wilson, President of the Bahamas Union of Teachers and President of the Bahamas National,
Alliance Trade Union Congress. It is long.
It's the newest one, right? And so I got to burn it into my memory, right? I just want to say, as we get back into the show, y'all realize that a lot of us learn by rote and ritual. Now, some of us learn differently, but even for all of us, there are things that we learn by rote and ritual. And sometimes you just have to inundate the children with the message until they get it.
Definitely.
Remember that message I was telling you all about a culture of appreciation for education? Even if you have to lie to them, you lie to them, right? My housekeeper told me, listen, I left Andrus when I was a little girl and I only have second grade education, but I know that your education is important, and I know that you need to call somebody to help you when you need help. Inundate them with the positive messages. Belinda, I got a caller who's been waiting from before the break. Caller, we're going to get to you.
Go to the caller.
Yeah, and then we're going to get into the safety and security plan for the school year 2025-2026. Good morning, caller.
Good morning again. This is
Yes, sir.
You know, just a question for your guest, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I am a product of a child that had to go to summer school and summer classes and tutoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
But every parent does not have the economical standby or means to do so.
Okay.
Right? So, question for your guest, right? How much, I know her and Simon aren't really the best of friends. They basically like oil and water.
I don't like the person who hold the money either. It ain't nothing personal.
But the question, right? How much in the budget, right, will they have to set aside for, say, for 2 hours of the day just for tutoring? That's what I want to know. Because basically, we have a lot of government wastage. Let's just pay real with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how much money does she estimate, right? Mm-hmm. It don't have to be an exact amount, right? But how much she estimate that the government would have to set aside for after-school tutoring for students in need? Because I think these kids need that.
Well, the Ministry of Education does have tutoring, and it's called the Extended Learning Program. And so it's open to all students who wish to attend, and it's after school. So it's like 3:15 to 4:15 or 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you would note that the students who may attend are not really the ones
who needed the most.
Yeah. And so, again, you need parents to be on board. And actually, in our industrial agreement, we have where our teachers are paid an allowance for the extended learning program. Now, sometimes they got to wait months and months for the money, but they teach. And then you also have some of the teachers that will do their own tutoring on Saturdays and Sundays. And so they would charge maybe $10, $5. So half of the children come without the money anyway, and they still teach. But there is a program in place. It's been in place for a number of years now. But again, are the children who need to have it the most taking advantage of it?
Just in this, thank you very much, caller. In this moment, for parents who suspect that their child may need a needs assessment, like I know Lila Green sitting home right now, I should have had this child tested long time, right? Where do they go?
The needs assessment, oh my. Okay, first of all, there's a limited number of government entities or facilities that does the testing.
Okay.
And then you have to go through social services.
To get it done.
And you're talking about the needs assessment for the child.
Yeah.
The parent has to show that they have a need. They need to be assessed.
Uh-huh.
That they have a need
in order
for the service to be done.
Okay.
Then if you talk about the private sector, I can say to you that we've paid a family member of ours, three years old, over $500 for an assessment. And he is on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And the report is about 25 pages because they monitor them, evaluate them over a few days. So it is very costly. And again, that's what bothers me, like with education. We keep saying, we are revising the curriculum, we're changing the curriculum. But there's so many other things that's needed. And especially how we note that we have so many students who are now coming up with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have the auditory
testing,
yes.
Yeah.
The speech therapist.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so when we talk about the students that finish school and, they don't know where they're going to work, there are so many careers that branch off in education, not just teachers, guidance counselors, teachers' aides, librarians.
Mm-hmm.
You need the attendance officer.
Yeah, to guide kids through this.
Yeah.
Because it's real. My personal experience, I was in boarding school getting ready to do A-levels, and I wanted to do both the science, math and science stream, and the English lit stream at the first together. And they let me know, you know what? The decision you made that led you here, ninth grade, choosing your BJCs.
Yes.
How important it is to understand which direction you may want to go into, or to understand why focusing on your BJCs is so important, because that's what qualifies you to do the BGCSE, right?
Yes.
And that's what takes you forward. I was so late in the game when I realized that, no, I was supposed to be thinking about this in ninth grade.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's get to the security and safety plan.
All right. First of all, let me say that I believe that the security of the schools has been improved and incrementally over the last several years.
Okay.
And the introduction of the school resource officers, so we call them the school police, the school resource officers, that's proven to really be working well.
Yeah.
Because the number of drugs, in the schools.
Has been reduced.
The number of knives, some guns, bullets, fights,
have been
reduced. And I had a meeting just last week with that unit, the head of that unit, Dr. Jaswell Hanna, and his chief superintendent, Keith Ferguson, and we were able to look at the data and look at the trends. So the years that it was up and then it came down. So I must say over this last year, the numbers are down, and that's because the security officers, the school resource officers, the union, we work in tandem. So sometimes we have intelligence that the police don't have.
Yeah.
Or security. So we speak to them. We let them know. There's something brewing. They may call me and say, Madam President, which teacher you have in this school that we can lean on, et cetera. So that's been working very well. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago with the director of security, Mr. Bruce Arnett, and he has, along with his team, they're going to be presenting to the Minister of Education a new security access protocol for schools throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Good stuff.
So they're looking at staffing. They're looking at the monitoring. So you don't, the CCTV
cameras
and monitoring. They're looking at biometric
cards.
Yeah, or the system where the features. Now, we definitely need to have more discussions about that with the government in terms, again, of your data protection.
Right. I see there are a number of issues arising around data protection. Now, I saw in an article, it may have been in today's paper, that you have a meeting with the data commissioner.
Yeah, I'm waiting data protection.
Oh, this is good stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's movement.
Yeah, we had a... Let me go back. So we had a meeting with the Prime Minister on Wednesday, September the 3rd. And we raised the concerns about data protection. We raised the concerns about teachers going on to the Oracle system, the verification, the My Profile, the LMS, whatever virtual platforms that the government has. We want to know.
Yes.
Who's protecting our data? Who is securing our information? Where is it being secured? Who has access to our information? I can say to you, and I'm not going to go any deeper because I will get the information to the Data Protection Commissioner, but we've already had a major breach in that Oracle.
I got you.
And so we're saying to our members, hold.
Yeah.
Let's wait. And I want to say thank you to the Prime Minister. Now, I can let you know, I met with the Prime Minister on the 4th of March this year. 5 months later, the things that we discussed, there was no movement.
Okay.
So Wednesday, we've agreed that the verification process, it's on hold for at least another 2 weeks.
Okay.
There will be a meeting held next week, Tuesday, with the relevant authority, including persons from finance. The biweekly, you know, we talked about the biweekly,
the shift to biweekly salary payments. Yeah.
And let me say this, because a lot of times people say, oh, who she thinks she is? I'm the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers. I have thousands of members that depend on me to advocate for them. And we also have to manage. We have to police the industrial agreement would be signed.
Yeah.
So the industrial agreement says,
you have a,
if the terms and conditions of service is going to be changed, you do not have the power, the prime minister, the Minister of Education, the Minister of the Public Service, does not have the power
to
unilaterally make a change. So what your power is for you to consult. So you bring to us a written proposal. You say to us, We've looked at the J.D. Edwards system in this instance with the Oracle. We have a J.D. Edwards system, which is the human resource and the account system that the government uses throughout the public service. Okay. We know that this system has been in place from the 70s. We know that there are issues with the system. We know that the system collapsed last year. We know that. So we're not saying to you we disagree with a new system coming in. Let me say it clearly. We agree.
Yep.
For the government to get a new system for the human resources and the accounts, we agree. We believe in progress. What we're saying is we should not be sitting in our house and hear you, the Prime Minister, the Minister of Education, the Minister of Labor, saying in the House of Parliament, oh, next week we're starting a new system.
How could you be in the HOA making pronouncements that depend on the consultation of key stakeholders?
And you're not only in breach of the union's agreement that's signed with you, that we are partners, consulted, that you will send to us documentation, written documentation for whatever it is that you want to change. Mm-hmm. You also in breach the ILO Convention 144, which speaks to the tripartite consultation.
Yeah.
So you go and sign on something. You go to the ILO every year and you talk big about the Bahamas and then you come back and you do not follow through and adhere to that which we've agreed.
Yeah.
So Belinda Wilson ain't bigger tea. Belinda Wilson is paid by the members of the Bahamas Union of Teachers to represent them, to articulate their views, to make sure that our industrial agreement is adhered to make sure that no government unilaterally makes decisions, and especially the decisions are made without us having the relevant information and documentation.
Absolutely. I mean, I was going to say, you are an advocate for your constituency. This is your job.
My job.
You have to be biggity on their behalf. Here's a question, though. In the ILO space, is there a mechanism that advocates for students? And because of the nature of the education space, right? Like, no, we don't have parents in the school. Are there any jurisdictions that have a mechanism where teachers become students advocates?
Okay, not where teachers become students advocates. Have the convention on the
right. And so you that's 148. You could evoke those.
Right. So when we talk about matriculation into school under the age of 14 or 16, they have to go to school.
Yeah.
Be they whatever, they have school. But it's incumbent upon us to have our policies in place, to have our standard operating procedures, to have our strategies, to our action plans, to ensure that, yes, they are matriculating. However, this is the policy. You must provide this document. Your parent must come to the school at a certain time. You have PTAs. That's where the parents need to come.
Yeah.
You have school boards.
So the PTA
is... But the school board, they don't have no teeth. That's how I see it.
I get you.
And then they don't know finance. So that line item, very thin. So the school board cannot be as...
Because people think that you're biggity because they don't necessarily see other stakeholders and advocates in the same space advocating as ferociously for their members as you do for yours.
But see, I can do this because I didn't cut any deals under the table.
I got you.
I've not been in any dark room with anyone. I do. It's open. You've signed an agreement. It is registered. This is what the BUT has to adhere to, and you are expected to adhere to it
as well.
Also,
now, teachers' safety. It's one thing to say teachers are safe on campus. Do teachers feel safe on campus and off campus? You know, the ILO work life isn't just in the workplace, it's on the way to the workplace, right?
I believe, again, that the injection of the school resource officers, and I must say the majority of them, they work very well, not only with the administration and the security, but also with the teachers.
Okay.
So they are aware of the student who may cause an issue. They do get the intelligence to say, okay, listen, child Belinda and Aaron was rowing lunchtime today, and she called her brother, and they come in, so they know we can't get to the gate 3 p.m. We got to get to that gate at 2:30.
Yeah.
Because we want to make sure who's coming in and who's going. So that's been working well. So I believe that they feel a lot more safer within the last few years.
That's good, because I was just about to send in a proposal. Are you going to buy me one of these robot dogs? I'm going to buy me one of these semi-autonomous or autonomous robot dogs, because from 2023, they've been deployed in police service in the U.S. 2025, just this summer, I saw, the first instance of it used in private security. But I want these children and these teachers to be safe. I can bring my robot dog there, and I can use the speaker.
I don't know if you're saying that in jest, but I believe it is something that not just the school police can use.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something that Commissioner Shanta knows. Want to look at that level to improve policing overall in the country.
Yeah. And then at that point, it will trickle down, right? Because I'm loving the relationship. I mean, we've heard the Department of Education speak in regards to the effectiveness of the school resource officers. It's just such a positive thing. It's so happy.
That's
for
one of the positive things.
Yeah, but I prepare to bring in a dog. I mean, I say
so
it
maybe
jest.
They should let the school resource officers run the Ministry of Education, but that's for discussion
another time. I'm thinking about the potential for these types of tools to be used, finances aside, right? Because we know right now we need desks, we need chairs, we need resources. We understand we have kids who do not have. We need to make sure we have extra books and extra pens and extra school uniforms and PE kits. We had at a very fundamental level. BUT, Union of Teachers, private school teachers as well?
No,
just government school.
We did a proposal before, and I intend to go back out there.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so now I got some texts here. Let's start at the beginning. Yep, no, we're not reading that one. Thank you, text. I can read it privately.
Read them all.
I don't think the Prime Minister should be the Minister of Finance. That's my honest opinion. It's just so much that the Prime Minister has to focus on. The question is, will the ministry get the attention
that it needs?
That, not a critique of the PM himself.
I think finance need a dedicated minister.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the chief minister who has to have his tentacles
everywhere.
In all of the
Here's another one. First of all, Ms. Wilson, you are the best. Indeed, you are the unofficial watchdog for the entire public service. God bless you. We need you permanently. There's an urgent need to have the public servants evaluate.
Their supervisors.
The recycled
retirees.
I know you can't see it, but I want you to know.
But I know where they coming from.
Let me talk about how my eyes, right? Because my mommy. Okay, so there's an urgent need to have the public servants evaluate. They brought her back twice.
Tell your mommy.
She's
home now.
No, yeah, she in retirement.
Okay, tell her stay home and relax.
But listen, I told her, A, relax, right? But B, this is time for you to commit to paper the institutional knowledge that you have.
Your mommy was an excellent civil
I think
servant.
So. Like, but
when
they
report. But when they bring back some of them, like why are you bringing them back? They didn't do anything when they was here.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving along.
Okay, let's get to another. I just needed to let the texter know, I personally compromised, but I could say it out loud. Here's another text in full agreement with Mrs. Belinda Wilson, and rest assured she's not grandstanding or gas lighting. A text says, okay, here's a text. It says, from the BUT's perspective, right, parents need to be doing and would support, what do teachers want to say to parents? And from the teacher's perspective, what advice do you give parents, right? Like, hey, y'all need support mechanisms too. We can't do that because we focused on teaching, but we could give you some advice.
Okay. I would say the Ministry of Education had a robust parenting program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly where that's at now.
Okay.
But the parenting program is very good. Now, the parenting program focused a lot on counseling and guidance.
Yeah.
But I believe that the parenting program needs to be expanded. So you do your counseling, you do your guidance, but I think you also need to put some academics in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that there are some of the parents, they cannot read and write themselves.
Yeah.
So there is an adult learning that's been going on for years. And there's a number of adults that would come and they learn to read their writing. So I think that it needs to be a combination of things. Even with the parenting program, they may even have to tie in with job placement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it cannot just be you come because your child misbehaved. And so your child was rude to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to put the two of you in a counseling for 2 or 3 weeks. And then, okay, go about your business. But you're going back to the same environment mm-hmm. and circumstances of which you left.
Yeah. You need to improve the parents' quality of life to improve the child's. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Green. Good afternoon to Ms. Belinda Johnson-Wilson.
Yeah, that's my schoolmate.
Yeah,
thank you for your patience.
But, you know, I just make this guy. But I just want to let Aunt know that you was one of the people who was helping some of the Aeneas boys and me, right, from grade 9. But I know your sincerity. I appreciate your candidness. And the last excerpt, you know, I love the last excerpt because, you know, we really appreciate your sincerity, right? And it's something that came out of you, Aaron Mount, but at the beginning of the show, as it relates to the pink being painted, the classrooms being painted while the students are in the classrooms,
yes.
right? And so, being that I was a dummy in chemistry, but there's one thing I could remember was that lead is not metabolized by the human body, and there are countless documentaries showing the impediments that lead causes when it builds up in the human body system. So when you look on the paint can, well, by the way, this has been banned in some countries, but still a large percentage of the world still produces paint with lead in it. So you would see PbCrO4, which is lead chromate. And this in itself is an impediment to learning. You could go and look online. Everyone who hears my voice could go and look at it. It actually causes learning disabilities. Given the fact that the children are already facing other external advices, why would the genius them allow the classrooms to be painted, which increases the toxicity level, saying that the paint is fresh? I've had a friend who died. He was a painter. And he actually had many problems in his older days as a result of inhaling paint and being mm-hmm. not being mindful just because the room was ventilated, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah. it's still something that should be avoided at all costs. That's all I'm saying. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. And then, you know, my daughter goes to a government school, and seeing that she knows I'm somewhat of an activist, just a couple of days ago, she told me that, Daddy, there was no tissue or paper towel in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought this is very inglorious, mm-hmm. given the fact that Ms. Green has already stressed the fact that I don't want to blame the migrants, but if you're going to fill up a country with something, do some accommodations. And they're talking about Junkun. When I listened to you the other day, I didn't get a chance to call about these different implementations of that, but they're not. Well, what about the funding, et cetera? They can't keep toilet paper or paper in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I have to buy glue and everything for my children. I just want to paint the picture of hopelessness and neglect by all governments, because this is BS for me. Give thanks.
Absolutely. And listen, for me, growing up in the bougie, right? I grew up bougie. I grew up in the suburbs. I went to Miss Hall pre-K for 2 years, right? I have never, like, I never considered that these things are a school, right?
Now, in 2025.
I shame.
No water, no toilet paper.
That I could have such an experience, and then people living, like, because I live in Johnson Road, people living right next door to me could have a different, entirely different experience. And it's a shame that we should all carry. It's a shame that we should all wear and work towards fixing this situation. If education is the equalizer, then we cannot be the descendants of Selinden Pinfather, the nation, that's my other daddy. We cannot be the descendants of this great nation that in 1985 at the Commonwealth Heads of Agreements meeting, where Pinlin get up and say, Queen, I know you's Aaron cousin, right? But I gotta talk to you a little hard. Y'all gotta end this apartheid thing. Right? We can't be the descendants of this great nation. All right, producer, were you playing some music for me just now to go to a break? Can I entertain this caller? All right, I got one caller before the break. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. Oh, good afternoon, Aaron. And, good afternoon to Mrs. Wilson.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I hope that the ministry, Mrs. Wilson, do you think that they listen to your advice? you have been talking for a number of years. And Aaron, you know how you feel about this de-average thing that they perpetuate to you, which I think is a bunch of foolishness. Because as long as Mrs. Wilson said, that the examination is geared to 20% of the student population, and it'll take 100 years for them to move that 1% point. So I don't even know why they keep frustrating themselves about this grade, this national grade point average. If you want all A, B, and C's, like they do in the private school, let the teachers recommend the students, okay, so they can sit the examination. That is the only way that that is going to change. So, Mrs. Wilson, listen, I applaud your efforts, and I trust, like you mentioned, and I was on the phone yesterday reading it while you were talking about the same thing that I was calling about, you know, when Mrs. Ingram had that program going.
Yeah, the City and Guilds.
Where individuals who were not academically motivated were put into them. You know, the fact that, Aaron, like I told you, most of the millionaires in this country, they are the average people, you know. They're the A, B, and C. And and those same de-average, so-called de-average children are the ones who will become our masons, making $200+ a day, plus. We need to focus. We need to have that streaming program done again, where individuals are streamed into various areas so that we can fill whatever skills gaps. Like I said, our major industry is banking, tourism, and construction. And Mr. Leonard Sand has been saying for a number of years that they can't find enough people to work the street, so they have to hire foreigners.
Yeah.
We need to concentrate on the areas. And that 25%, I'm sure that the chamber is looking for that 1,000 plus that is able to meet that criteria. Then let them go into the areas that where the country need them the most.
And then I understand your position, because we did back and forth about that. I hearing it more. Thank you very much for your...
I want to respond to him quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. He asks if they're listening. I think overall attitude is the union does not run the ministry. That's the overall attitude. And then when it's convenient for them, you see them sneaking some of the recommendations
that you make.
They sneak it, but they would never give the credit. Because just two major things, I want to say what the BUT would have done. The career path that they're using now for senior teachers and master teachers, it was the Bahamas Union of Teachers that established that in 1993. So Avril Mortimer was the then era vice president, was the architect of that. Today, that is what they're using for senior and master teachers for promotions.
Okay.
The EAP program, which is the Employee Assistance Program, that was coined by myself in our agreement, which we signed on November the 17th, 2006. So we kept saying to them, the only thing the Human Resource Department does in the Ministry of Education is write you a letter to tell you, you was absent 3 days, you was out sick and you didn't bring a sick slip. But a human resource department is more than that.
Yeah.
It has to be professional and training. You have to have support. You have to be given guidance. So now the EAP program is one of the strongest programs that they have in the Ministry of Education. But you'll never hear them say it was the Bahamas Union of Teachers.
I got you. And that can be so problematic for the overall development of the academic and educational space. The things that we don't understand, we're teaching our kids. Carla, you got 30 seconds. Did I lose you, Carla? Anyway, you exercise great patience, Annie. We're going to a break. We got one more segment. Y'all stay tuned. A few more minutes with Mrs. Belinda Wilson, president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers.
Settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-mm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, stacked with crisp bacon, melty cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the farm fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King's Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
Enjoy the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your good to be alive.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here. With a full day of diverse programming, kicking off with the first and last word in sports, The Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and Urban American Gospel Hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, and Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseboro, Let's Talk Together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian 0.9.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're tuned in to Guardian Radio today. This is Erin Green sitting in today for you. Got a lot of questions for you, Ms. Wilson, and I got Texas. I'm going to get to the text. In yesterday's paper, Mr. Monroe, the 1st of September, Mr. Monroe, Minister of National Security, in an article, Government Considering School Housing for At-Risk Teens. Mr. Monroe said the government is considering putting in place housing at a school in New Providence to help at-risk teenagers. He referenced a diversionary school. So let's start here. What is a diversionary school? Is that like shore?
I don't know what he's talking about. It's like I said, they articulate these things. Okay, if you're thinking about doing a diversionary school, then I think by now education should have had the strategic plan and the action plan, and education should have informed us as the unions and say, hey, this is a draft. Can you hold on the draft about a month? Go on and survey your members. Y'all get in your little groupings and get bus with some written recommendations. So I don't know what he's talking about, because from he take office, he says he's building a prison. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, let's do one thing at a time.
Because I thought a diversionary school would have been something like Project Shore, right?
And then we're saying that, okay, you're going to be housing the students.
Yeah.
So you need safety for them.
Yeah.
You're going to put at-risk students all in one space.
This requires an entirely new protocol. You need professional counselors.
But 52 daughter going to a school with toilet paper even in the restroom. You know, let's...
We're dreaming beyond our budget.
Let's get real. But what I'm saying is, let's master something first.
Yeah.
Before we go and we say we're expanding and we're introducing something else. So to me, that's just rhetoric. We could go on.
Yeah, man. No problem. Yeah.
Because the school was supposed to be for the at-risk students on Wolf Road, where Bahamas Academy was building now 9 years from 2016. They say they spent $30 million, or they allocated $30 million. Well, I was there a few days ago. The school is incomplete after 9 years, and now they're saying it's not going to be for at-risk students anymore. It's a polytechnic school.
I'm still trying to figure out if it's going to be a school at all, because I'm certain there was some real technical legal issues in the midst there. I got you. Let's go to the phone line quickly and then to some text. Good morning, caller.
Hi, Madam President.
Yes, sir.
Your good friend, Gady, here. Trade unions.
Yes.
How you doing?
All right.
Listen, the question is, autonomy. Why can't the Ministry of Education set up its own vetting process, separate and apart from the public service? Because my thing is, all these things we'll be dealing with now, teachers not in place, could have been done well about a year ago. Why someone could take the bull by the horn on this?
Okay, let me address that.
Thank you, caller.
Let me address that. From the first agreement we did, and I'm now on the fifth industrial agreement, we had in there where there should be a teaching service commission or authority.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all remember when there was a referendum in 2001. I think it was October of 2001. There was only two things on that referendum that passed. One was the teaching service commission.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one other thing I can't recall at this time. But what happened is, the Attorney General at the time was Carl Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been a teaching service authority and not a commission.
Mm-hmm.
Because you already have the public service commission. You cannot have two commissions.
Okay.
So there was an error in the drafting.
Yeah.
That's one word. Which caused that not to go through. Because, yes, we to recruit, we'll be able to hire, we'll be able to terminate. We don't like to hear that word. We'll be able to vet, et cetera. But in the absence of that, though, there is a mechanism in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a public service commission. However, if the human resource department at the Ministry of Education is found wanting,
mm-hmm.
and they cannot get the documentation out and the recommendations out in a timely manner to the Public Service Commission.
Yeah.
Then we can't hire the people.
Yeah.
And we can't
get
them posted.
So we've been here for almost 2 hours and we haven't gone through half the questions on my list. Does the BUT have a communications mechanism? Do you have a podcast that members run from your social media platform? Are y'all interested in a radio slot once a week? because there's so many questions that arise, and then subsequent to that question, where do y'all post information? Like, you called off three different reports, three different studies that I want to read right now.
Okay. First of all, we had a website, and we realized that the website really didn't have any movement.
Okay.
So we have a Facebook page.
Okay.
WhatsApp is our best friend because each of our districts, okay, we have an area vice president for the Southern Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So that's Inez Nairn. So she has Miguana, Inagua, Auckland, Crooked Island, Long Key, Long Island, Exuma, San Salvador, Cat Island. Boom.
Okay.
Then Northern Bahamas, that's Anton Duncombe. So he has Eleuthera, Abaco, Bimini, the Berry Island, North, South, Central, Mango Key, Andros.
Johnny, I tell you, if you trying to switch schools to avoid that teacher day's talk.
Right. So the information is channeled. Mm-hmm. We also have meetings. So I must say, since the pandemic, in the virtual, so Zoom. Okay. So we've increased our capacity to like 1,000.
Okay.
And then we have one of our teachers, he does streaming and all that. So we would have them, they'll be on YouTube and on Zoom.
Right.
And I must say that we've had like 1,600 members on
at one time.
Membership meeting. So if you send something to me and I need to get that out, we press.
All right.
New Providence has their district steward under their area vice president, mm-hmm. Vernon Rogers. Then we have an area vice president, John Ingram in Grand Bahama. So the information we can get out in seconds.
Okay, this is good.
In seconds.
Now, so y'all mastering the technology, right?
Yes.
Is there an official AI policy for students and teachers in the classroom?
Not to my knowledge. And actually, I can say to you that I've not had an invitation, seen any documentation from the Ministry of Education. And that's why I smiled. They said, okay, we're looking at the curriculum. We changed the curriculum. How do you change the curriculum without having a conversation about AI?
Mm-hmm.
But I can say to you that teachers, they are using AI, and they're also now they can detect.
I got you.
If their students are using AI, and this is mostly in English language, because I reached out to a couple of them, and they were able to say to me,
they're arming themselves.
We're using it, but we're able to detect it, because what they would notice that there was an uptick in the use of ChatGPT since the COVID.
Yeah.
But see, the teachers can detect it because, okay, they know that their students' vocabulary, they were telling me.
Mm-hmm.
They know the way that they structure their sentences. AI sentences are like vague.
Yeah.
The answers are vague. Their writing techniques, teachers know the words you use, the way you write. They know that, okay, Belinda has a problem.
This is Belinda's way.
Yeah, so she put in a comma there where colon should be or semicolon should be, et cetera. So right. I know Belinda didn't write this.
Belinda,
and let me say this quickly.
All right, good.
What they say they notice is that a student who's struggling in school, or they come at homework, and the next day and their homework is an A. So they know that, hey,
you got some type of artificial assistance.
Artificial.
So I got a text here that says, who's vetting the teachers that are being brought, like teachers from Cuba, teachers from Ghana? Is the BUT involved in that process?
You see some teachers come from Ghana.
I mean, I see nobody come
and
from.
I'm glad you raised that too. Because when I hear them saying they bring in teachers from Canada and the USA. Now I have a question. Just when our negotiations, teachers have started now. Today start at $27,800 per annum. Who coming from Canada? Who making between $75,000 to $100,000? And those coming from the U.S., when making, I mean, let's say you said $50,000+.
What are the incentives you offering?
Who coming here?
Yeah, but I tell you what, if you put 12 mango tree, 2 sour sauce, 5 sugar apple,
an avocado.
I make, an avocado.
Leave the secret.
Yes. Listen, we're all out of time. Texters, I'm going to document these questions because I'm going to beg Ms. Wilson to give us some more time next week or the week after. Even if it's on Strawn Show or Newry Show, we got to get back on. Thank you very much for
in-depth
look into the state of education and academic life. in the Bahamas at the start of the 2025-2026 school year. Mrs. Wilson.
Thank you very much. Solidarity forever!
The revolution continues. You guys stay tuned. Zhivago Lang is up next.